It is Writer Than You. That is the name of the show. But yours truly, Jody Mack, in for Billy R today. Get your weekend started right. I know Writer's got his weekend started right because he's got 3 days. Enjoy, Billy R. I'll hold down the fort for you for the next 2 hours here on the Infinity Sports Network. Two major sports in play. Yeah, sometime this afternoon I'll flip on the golf. We got a little FedEx Cup playoff underway, but it is a football and baseball weekend. Not college just yet. We're still a couple of weeks away from college, but the NFL is playing in games that don't count, but they matter. And I'll go through the three that were played last night. Baseball stuff, not much of a slate last night in baseball. Shoot, there were almost as many NFL games was played as MLB games. And, you know, MLB plays every single day. Four MLB games, only one of playoff consequence, let's put it that way. But a bunch of NFL action that I was on my couch from, let's see, 7 o'clock Eastern. First game got underway, Ravens. And then at about 11:30, I said, "Make it to bed. I got to get up, got to do Writer's show." So I watched the second half of the Seahawks and the Raiders from the comfort of my bed. But I was tuned to NFL action for 6 straight hours, somewhere thereabouts. And yes, it is so nice to get the National Football League back. You know, I'm a baseball head, but I'm also a diehard NFL fan. They are the big dog. They are the biggest sport in this country. They grab the most attention. They get the biggest TV ratings. So if you're doing a sports talk show here in the good old US of A, you better know what the heck's going on in the National Football League. So we'll talk about both the NFL and the MLB today. Got one guest. If you're a fan of my show on the weekends. I am your weekend warrior here on the Infinity Sports Network. Have been since the network got going 12 and a half years ago. And each and every single year prior to the National Football League season getting underway, regular season games, I try and get a team preview in for all 32 of the teams. Last year, I pulled it off. I got all 32 teams in. The year before, I think I came up too short. Ran out of town. The guys I usually get on to talk about those specific teams just couldn't do it and couldn't find backup guys who would be willing to jump in with me. So I think I came up too short the year before. I've been trying to do this the last 2 years. I'm going to attempt to get all 32 teams in again this year. We'll check another one off, a pretty big one to check off today, as a matter of fact. That would be the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles. Decided to do them because I'm here today on Bill's show, and they got their first preseason game underway and under their belts last night. So I got a good Eagle guest coming up at the top of hour number two to preview the defending champions, although they don't want you to use that word. One of their star players, their outstanding right tackle, Jordan Mailata, said they're not defending anything. Last year's last year. It's done. It's gone. It's a new mission. It's something that they have to completely put in their rearview mirror, turn the page on. All right, I'll buy that, Jordan. I hear what you're saying. Their head coach, Nick Sirianni, had said previously when camp was just getting open, someone used the word repeat as champion. They're attempting to repeat as the champ. He said, "We don't use that word. Not going to use the word repeat because along the same lines as Jordan Mailata. It's a new task. It's a new day dawning. We know what we accomplished last year. We got our celebration over and done with. We're not attempting to repeat anything. We're just looking to play consistently outstanding football." So I think they're protesting just a bit much. That's me, but they sure as hell didn't look like it. They looked focused last night, and I'll give you the details on that game coming up in just a second. And we'll talk all things Eagles with Jeff Mosher, co-founder and writer and podcast host for InsideTheBirds.com. Mosher's going to join us coming up about 55 minutes from now. So there were three NFL games last night. And like I said, I watched each and every single one of them. The first one was the Ravens and the Colts. They got underway a half an hour before the Eagles did. The Ravens played the good majority of their backup players. Certainly you didn't see their MVP-level quarterback, Lamar Jackson. He was on the sideline the entire time. Interesting game, fun game, just because it's the National Football League, it's back. And, oh, by the way, the Ravens, depending on what wagering outlet you want to look at, are the co-favorites to win the NFC this year. There are three teams that are all very close. If you go to a different wagering outlet, you may find any of the three as the number one seed or two tied for the top betting interest, favorite betting interest in the AFC. Ravens are right there. They're favorite in some, co-favorite in others, second or third choice in some. They got a big-time shot this year. They've been very good during the Lamar Jackson era. They just haven't been able to get over that playoff hump and get themselves to a Super Bowl, let alone win a Super Bowl. But they are going to be one of the top teams in the NFL this year, but they didn't play. Their star players, most of their star players, had the night off. Their backup quarterbacks, Cooper Rush. That's right. No longer with the Dallas Cowboys. Cooper Rush is the number one backup for the Ravens. And Devin Leary both played last night. One guy who did look pretty good, Keaton Mitchell, a running back who they drafted a couple of years ago, has had major injury issues since he came into the league. But when he's healthy and he plays, he actually looks like he could be productive. Now they got a guy by the name of Derrick Henry who's back with them again this year, looking to have another big season. So I don't know how much Keaton Mitchell's going to play. But if Derrick Henry were to go down, Keaton Mitchell looks like the type of back who could step in and do something. Flip side it, you had the Indianapolis Colts, who I do not believe. I'll make my official predictions before the season gets underway. The only predictions that matter are the ones you make right before the season starts, because things change up until that minute. I can run down the teams I think are going to make the playoffs with you today, but I'm going to tell you I'll reserve the right to change my mind between now and opening week. Because injuries happen, things happen, you might change your opinion on certain teams and their viability for the postseason. As of now, I do not think of the Indianapolis Colts as a playoff team. Although I did love Mr. Warren at tight end last night. You know, if you're a loyal listener of mine on the weekends here, I thought he was easily the best tight end in the draft. I thought he should have been a top five pick. That's how talented I believed he was, and still believe that that's the case. He made a couple of catches last night. But for Colts fans, if you're big Anthony Richardson fans, kind of a mixed bag of tricks. He got the nod over Daniel Jones. If you're going to start, if you're going to play somebody and you think he's going to be your starter at the start of the year, you need to play him first. You don't bring Anthony Richardson off the bench after you play Danny Dimes, a.k.a. Daniel Jones. So Richardson started, threw a couple of passes, and then just got buried on a sack. And he didn't even begin to see the defensive guy coming off the edge to just pound him. Now, that's shame on him. You got to be able to pick that up. If it's a blindside hit and your offensive line isn't up to speed, you guys haven't gotten into any kind of a groove yet, okay, fine. But they just came with a guy off the edge and didn't even get touched. And, yeah, the quarterback paid for it with a nasty hit. He went down. They find out afterwards he's got a dislocated finger. The Raven defender just laid his shoulder into Richardson's hand, and he got a dislocated finger. He immediately came out of the game, did not go back in. They're saying that it's only day-to-day. Dislocated finger on his throwing hand, by the way, not on his left hand, on his throwing hand. So that could be a bit of an issue, bit of a problem. They're calling him game to game, if not day to day, which means they actually believe that he can play with a dislocated pinky going forward. You, believe it or not, you need your pinky to be able to throw the ball. You need all five fingers to be able to throw the ball the way you need to throw the ball in the National Football League. So that's not good for the Indianapolis Colts, unless you're a big fan of Daniel Jones and you think that Anthony Richardson isn't good enough, and the Colts went out and got themselves a different starting quarterback, Daniel Jones kind of looked like Daniel Jones. 10 of 21 for 144 yards, no touchdowns, led his team to a couple of field goals. At least for me, nothing impressive out of Daniel Jones. So, Colt fans, if Ryan Hickey were here, I would be questioning him. Are you ready for a 6-11 season? Sorry about that. And I know, first preseason game, I'm going over the board. The reason why I'm saying 6-11, and I'm overselling it a little bit, I honestly don't believe that they're a 500 team. And we'll see over the course of the rest of the preseason. So that one got underway first on the NFL Network. On a local Philadelphia station down here in South Jersey, where I'm living and broadcasting from, Eagles got their preseason underway. They sat the good majority of their starting players. The only players who started last night, who may start on the Thursday night opener against the Dallas Cowboys a couple of weeks from now, are guys who aren't necessarily locked into a starting position yet. They're competing for starting position spots. The guys that you know are going to start, part of last year's championship team, were all on the bench last night. They didn't play at all for the Philadelphia Eagles. And that didn't stop the Philadelphia Eagles from putting up 34 points. Offense looked very good for the Eagles last night. However, the defense didn't look near as good. Joe Burrow and his offense starters were basically all in the lineup versus the Eagles last night. Their coach chose to get the season going by playing Burrow and Chase and Brown, their leading running back, and their offensive line. And, oh, by the way, their offense looked damn good. They went up and down the field. Joe Burrow looked like Joe Burrow, 9 of 10, 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's pretty Joe Burrow-like, right? The Eagles do have some questions in their secondary. Their two stud sophomore cornerbacks did not play last night, so they were running with all their secondary guys and their backup guys in the secondary. And they got picked apart early by Joe Burrow. So it was a telltale game for both teams. Bengal fans, if I got any of you out there and you want to touch base with me, you know how to do it. 888-710-4476. You know, when yours truly hops in, I like to get you people involved. I'm a people person. I use my phones. I'll use social media. I'll give you the Twitter handle in just a second. But whenever I get on, like I said, we've got one guest, an Eagle season preview coming up next hour. But the rest of this hour, I'll take all your calls at 888-710-4476. Wouldn't mind hearing from Bengal fans. The more they change, the more they stay the same. Offense looks like it's going to be able to put up a ton of points this year for Cincinnati. Defense looks like they're going to be a sieve. The Eagles' backups move the ball up and down the field. Second string quarterback, and he really is borderline a rookie. It's his third year in the National Football League. His first year, he didn't play at all. Last year, he played in the last two games of the season, one because they had a blowout win in week 16, and in week 17, they couldn't move up or down in the standings, so they sat Jalen Hurts. Tanner McKee, last night, 20 of 25 for 252. He threw for 252 yards in two and change quarters. He did start the second half, but he was just slinging the ball all over the place. The Bengal defense, not great. But it was an exciting game to watch. If you enjoy NFL high-scoring games, even if they're preseason, even if they're with a bunch of names you don't easily recognize, it was a fun game to watch because there was a whole bunch of points put on the board. And both teams have serious questions going into the season at their defensive back position. And then the last game started after the two. Well, no, the both games were, I guess, still ending up by the time the Raiders and the Seahawks got underway. West Coast game. My friend Kate Scott, who calls the 76ers games here in Philadelphia during basketball season, calls the Seahawks preseason games, so she was on the broadcast. I'm high on the Seahawks this year. They didn't play Sam Darnold. He had the night off. Drew Lock, their former quarterback, who left for a year, went to New York, played backup for the Giants, is now back with Seattle, did play, moved the ball efficiently. Raiders got Geno Smith out there for a couple of snaps. Please, if you're a Raider hater, don't try and check in and go with Ashton Benton can't play because he had a tough first game. And it's preseason. Believe me when I tell you, Ashton Jeanty is going to be a stud back in the National Football League, even though he carried it 3 times for minus 4 yards last night. It doesn't matter. Come on. Again, preseason, good late game. Sure enough, the Raiders had a chance to win it on the last play of the game. Got a field goal blocked. So it ends up a 23-23 tie. But I stayed up to watch the whole thing. How much NFL did you watch last night? Are you pumped because it's back? We'll start with the NFL, and then we'll get into some baseball stuff. Like I said, light sked last night, but some pretty damn good matchups coming up this weekend. A couple interleague matchups and key matchups as we get into the damn close to the final quarter of the season. We're not in the home stretch yet, but we're getting there. So baseball and football, what we're going to talk about on the air today, or at least I want to talk about on the air today, you tell me. 888-710-4476. For those of you who don't call much anymore, just text and or tweet. We can take advantage on Twitter. At Jody McMahon, J-O-D-Y-M-A-C-M-A-N is my Twitter handle. If you just tweet the show, you make a good point, you ask a good question, I'll read it, I'll reference it on the air. I would prefer to talk to you on the phones because that's better. We can go back and forth. We can exchange a couple points or questions. But if you're a social media person, you just want to shoot me a tweet, do it at Jody McMahon, J-O-D-Y-M-A-C-M-A-N. There you go. All right. We saved that for the weekend. Jody Mack here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm in for Bill Ryder today. When Bill does the show, it's righter than you. When I do the show, it's wronger than most. I'll try not to be too wrong today. You tell me on my telephone lines, 888-710-4ISN. I'm glad our voice guy decided to use the word wronger too, which I absolutely positively don't believe is a word. But I did use it to describe myself. When I said I was filling in for Bill, he's never wronger than you. He's always righter. That's why he's righter. But yours truly to be determined. And you guys will help in determining that by getting onto the show. Got plenty of time, hour and change left for you guys to check in. 888-710-4476. Three NFL games last night. Big slate of NFL games coming up the rest of the weekend. Or my Cleveland guys checking in for Shedeur Sanders getting a nod for the Browns tonight. What does it mean? Who knows? They have no idea what the Cleveland quarterback situation is going to be like. I'm sure the coach has what he hopes happen, what he's rooting for to happen. But I think they are still very much evaluating that position going into the season. That's not a good spot to be in, but that's just me. So any NFL stuff from this weekend, like I said, baseball's got some good series this weekend. Yankees host the Astros. Astros in first place. Yankees fading a little bit, but they did get Judge back, and he's going to get out into the field. He may even play the field this weekend. He should have been able to hit since he came back a couple of games ago. I hadn't done much with the bat yet, but they absolutely have to have Aaron Judge if they're going to make any kind of a playoff run. And in New York, they're more than just whispers. There are pretty loud rumbles about Aaron Boone should be fired as the manager of the Yankees. Red Sox, who are ahead of the Yankees in San Diego against the Padres. Good showdown. Two of the top teams in baseball. The Jays against the Dodgers. Toronto Blue Jays out in L.A. to take on the Dodgers. Phillies are in the Lone Star State taking on the Rangers, who are trying to fight to get into playoff position. The Mets, who are now 2.5 games behind the Phils, going to have a tough time making up ground playing in Milwaukee this week. Now, the Mets did take out Milwaukee last year in the playoffs, so it's a little bit of a revenge weekend for the Brewers. Anytime Cubs and Cardinals play, that's one of the better rivalries in baseball. Rays and Mariners, a good set this weekend. Angels, Tigers, you got Tarik Skubal, the leader in the AL Cy Young, standing, at least in my mind, going for his 12th win tonight. Paul Skeens, in a game that didn't catch much attention, nor should it have, last night pitched 6 shutout innings for the Pirates. they're a bad team. His one loss record is nothing special. He's been the best pitcher in the National League, and he should be the leading candidate for the Cy Young. So, baseball too. Football or baseball, you tell me. 888-710-4476. Avery from Michigan, my first call. Avery, you're up on the Infinity Sports Network.
Hey, Jody, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Busy. I want to talk about Anthony Richardson.
Yep.
So I have been an avid sports fan for probably my whole life, and I was listening to JR last night and a little bit of Bart, and I have a bad feeling that Anthony Richardson's going to end up being one of these overly hyped, didn't get enough time to do better in college, and is going to end up being one of the busts, like the what's his name? I forget. He was the Washington State quarterback who came out after the 97 class.
Well, you're talking not Drew Bledsoe, but Ryan Leaf. Is that who you're referring to? Yes.
Yeah.
He's not going to be Ryan Leaf because Ryan Leaf was legit. Anthony Richardson was a reach by the Colts, if you ask me, to be the number four pick in the draft because, as you pointed out correctly, he didn't play all that much in college. He played one full year. He's got some physical traits. He's one of these guys where they overrated traits over actual accomplishment, over actually showing and getting it done on the field. At least Leaf put up huge numbers at up in Washington State. He was legit to be a top quarterback. Now, some people thought he could or should have been drafted ahead of Peyton Manning. Anyone who said that leading up to the draft is in hiding somewhere because, of course, he didn't come close to being what Peyton Manning was. But at least he was legit. I thought Richardson was a major reach for the Colts. And, yes, I'm with you. I don't think he's going to become a winning quarterback in this league. And if you're the number four quarterback in the league and you're not starting your third or fourth year in the league, you are officially a bust. You are right.
Yeah, and I'm from Michigan. I'm a huge Lions and all Detroit sports fans. So I'm big here on Scoob and stuff. I think he's a phenomenal pitcher. I got to almost see him once. But, I mean, he's a phenomenal pitcher. That's something you can't give up on.
And they're not going to. Yeah, I don't think after all. No. I did hear a couple of people, the Tigers could trade Scoob. No, they couldn't. They never were going to. They're going to have to pay him at some point because he's going to command a massive, and I mean massive contract because he won the Cy Young last year. He's got a very good chance to win it. You go back-to-back Cy Young Award, you should be the highest paid pitcher in baseball. And once he gets to that level in his career, he's going to have to be paid. So if it's not going to be the Tigers, it's going to be somebody else. I don't know why the Tigers wouldn't pay him. They've had success. They made the playoffs last year. They're definitely going to make the playoffs again this year. They may finish with the top record in the American League. Yeah, they would be wise to get Mr. Scoobal's contract extended ASAP.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Jody.
I appreciate the call. You got it. Thanks for checking in. Yes, Scoobal goes this week. And I got to see Scoobal up close and personal last week when he pitched here in Philadelphia. Weird game. Scoobal against Wheeler, two major Cy Young candidates. Scoobal leader in the clubhouse in the American League for me, and Wheeler in the running in the National League. And both of them got hit around a little bit. Scoobal gave up a couple of runs. Wheeler gave up a massive home run and ended up taking the loss. He's actually struggling a little bit here in the last three or four games for the Phillies. Hasn't really hurt the Phillies. They've actually extended their lead in the NL East. But Wheeler's had back-to-back mediocre at best starts. But that was last Saturday was a major showdown between two of the best pitchers in baseball. That the Tigers won, good for the Tigers, but neither of those star pitchers pitched like stars last Saturday. Scoob goes back out tonight for the Tigers. Wheeler doesn't go for the Phillies. They're giving Wheeler a couple of extra days off. Tonight would be his start on regular rest, just like Scoob, because they faced off against each other last time both pitched. But they pushed Wheeler back 2 days. He will start on Sunday. They're saying it's nothing major. just a little arm tiredness. So they're going to give him a couple of extra days. Something to keep your eye on Sunday when the Phillies are in action. But Scooble goes tonight, Wheeler a little later this weekend. All right, Jody Mack here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm filling in for Bill Ryder. Hour number one, all calls. Hour number two, I am going to punch up a guest in my effort to get a team preview done for every team in the National Football League before the season starts. We're going to check off the defending champion, Philadelphia Eagles. We'll do an Eagles season preview at the top of the second hour of today's show. But I still got the rest of this hour to talk to you guys at 888-710-4ISN. Get back and stoke the phones after the latest Infinity Sports Flash. May the Schwartz be with you. It is Writer Than You. That's the show. But when Bill's out, it's whoever is jumping into his chair. Going to try and be Ryder. Yeah, but nobody can actually be Ryder. So you got me, Jody Mack, here today filling in. I got open phones for the rest of this hour. Hour number two, going to give you an NFL preview of one particular team. I'm going to try and get 32 teams in before the season gets started. Already got five under my belt. We'll get ready for this, six more over the weekend. So we'll be up to 12. So I'll be more than a third of the way through before we get to September. So I got a shot. I got a shot to pull all of this off. Today's preview will be of the Philadelphia Eagles. They played last night. They are the defending Super Bowl champions. Got a good Eagle guest. I've been friends and I've had Jeff Mosher on for years, co-host and creator of InsideTheBirds.com. Very good Eagle website and podcast. So we'll get Moshe up here in about 20 minutes from now. Until then, it's you and I on the phones. It can go NFL, last night's game, any of the other two games, Jordan Peters update, Shedeur Sanders getting a start for the Browns. If I'm a Browns fan, and I'd love to hear from Browns fans. We got a good affiliate in Cleveland, so any of you guys who are listening, check in. If I'm a Browns fan, I really have to root, my opinion, for Shedeur Sanders to win this job. Joe Flacco's Joe Flacco. And to his credit, he came in a couple of years ago. Watson goes down. He leads them to the playoffs. Plays really well. Gave you a taste of playoff football, and the playoff years in Cleveland over the last decade have been few and far between. Quarterbacks who played to the level of what Flacco did have also been few and far between. So I would understand the hope that Joe Flacco could do what he did just a couple of years ago. And he might. He might be able to do that. Could they sneak into the playoffs if Flacco plays the same level in 2025 that he played in 2023? Yeah, maybe. But what's the future of that? And I'm not saying Shedeur Sanders is guaranteed to be a star quarterback in the league, but he's got upside. Joe Flacco is what he is. There's no change in Joe Flacco at this stage. And sure enough, Kenny Pickett, who some people believe was actually going to get the nod over Flacco as the starting quarterback, got more first-team reps in practice than Flacco did. He goes down with an injury, so they're not starting Flacco tonight. They're basically, I guess, putting Flacco in mothballs. Doubt you'll see him tonight. But they did decide to give Shedeur Sanders the start. And if you're a Browns fan, you're hoping Shedeur plays well, because I think you want him. You want to see him win the job. Go just outright flat and win it by his own outstanding play. Now, do I think that changes the overall outlook for the Browns? No, I think they're a non-playoff team. I think they're below 500 team, whether it's Joe Flacco or Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel or Kenny Pickett, whenever he returns from injury. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a great year, but at least you want something to build on if you're a Browns fan. Maybe, just maybe, Shedeur Sanders gives you that as a rookie quarterback. All right, my next caller, and I got open phones the rest of this hour, so if you get in now. I'll get you before the top, 888-710-4476. My next caller also wants to talk about a rookie QB, one who played last night. Lou from Rochester's up on the Infinity Sports Network. Hello, Lou.
Hello, Jody. No, I love you, man.
How are you, pal?
I'm well. Man, after that detailed analysis you did of the three teams to omit a Milrow, I was just a slip, I think.
Well, I was running out of time. I only got 15 minutes in the first segment, and that was the third game, so I've got Milrow in my notes. He threw the ball okay. What he did best was what he did best in college, at least in my opinion, is run. He made a couple of really nice plays with his legs, and if he ever gets a chance to play in the league, that's going to be part of his game. He looked like Jalen Milrow to me. No better, no worse, but about the level of what kind of an NFL quarterback I think he's going to be over his career.
He surprised me. I think he's got superior running skills, like you said, but he actually threw it pretty well for the plays that they gave him. And he kind of reminded me a little bit of Jackson. I see a lot of upside for him. Seattle got lucky on drafting him. Shades of when Russell Wilson came in as a rookie for them. I don't think Darnold's going to hold that job. It's going to be an interesting year for Seattle.
Really? You think Milrow's going to beat Darnold out?
Yeah, Darnold takes too long to make decisions to throw. That O'Connell, or the coach for the Vikings, is some kind of genius.
Yeah, he's very good coach.
To have made Darnold look that good. But late in the year when I started watching games, I saw the same old Darnold. I called one of your shows. I don't think it was yours, but who knows. I said, same guy, and then he just faltered badly in the playoffs because takes them too long to make decisions to throw the ball. Never going to change.
I was more impressed. And you're right. You got to give credit to the system, to the staff, to the fact that he's thrown a Jefferson, who's probably the most talented player in the National Football League. But his numbers were outstanding last year, like nothing he'd ever done before. If you think it was all just everybody else elevating him, we'll find out. But I think Seattle's going to have a nice offense, too. They got a really good, deep running back room. I think this is a breakout year for Smith and Jigba. I think Seattle's going to have a pretty good year in the West. I think that's a really fun division. I think the Rams could win it. I think the 49ers could win it. I think the Seahawks could win it. And the Cardinals aren't going to be bad. I think the Cardinals are probably going to finish fourth, but it's not like they're going to be 3-14. I think they've got a chance to play close to 500 football. So I am really excited about the NFC West. And I think Sam Darnold's going to be better than you do, Louis. Sorry.
Thanks for the insight, Jody. Love you.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. And if anybody listens to me, you know, I'm a Jet guy. I'm a Jet fan. And Sam Darnold was a high Jet pick coming out of USC. I thought he was going to be a very good quarterback, certainly better than what he ever showed on the field for the Jets. I didn't think he was given. I didn't think he was no doubt about it, all-pro level quarterback. But I thought he had a chance to develop, and he never did. Part of that was poor coaching. The Jets just didn't give him enough weapons. He had some, but they didn't give him enough. He did go elsewhere and didn't really establish himself till last year in the league. It was his first true full season of outstanding play. Sometimes it takes a quarterback a little long to develop. Most of them, you hope by their second or third year in the league, they've reached a level that you think they can. And oftentimes that is the case. But maybe, just maybe, Sam Darnold is one of those late developing guys. And it kicked in, and being part of a very high-level system like O'Connell coaches and having Jefferson. He doesn't have Jefferson in Seattle, but I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is a darn good wide receiver and could play close to a Pro Bowl level this year. I'm bullish on the Seahawks. I think they've got a chance in the NFC West this season. Wes from Idaho is up on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Jody Mack, great show. But what do you think about my Seattle Mariners?
Got a chance. They did well at the trade deadline, adding, and you know what I had never heard before? I flipped on the game, whatever it was on. I think it was on the MLB Network last night. Maybe it's a Seattle thing, but Eugenio, and I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, Eugenio Suarez was called by the Seattle announcers last night Gino. Now, I had never heard anybody call Eugenio Gino, but they said, oh, it's up to Gino. It was in extra innings. Unfortunately, didn't get a hit in the 10th with the winning run on third base, but they went ahead and won it in the 11th inning anyway. Adding Suarez, adding Naylor, their offense needed a boost. I think their general manager gave them a legit chance by going out and getting both of those bats.
Right on. What do you think of our pitching staff?
Good enough. All the pitching staffs in that division have talent, but don't all necessarily pitch up to the level of that talent. And that would be the Mariners included this year. The Astros have had so many injuries with their pitchers. They're supposed to be getting healthier. We'll see about that. DeGrom has been great for Texas, and their supplemental pitching has been solid and fine. I think any one of those three teams could win it. I know the Astros have the lead, so you got to go out and catch them, both Seattle and Texas. But I think that's still a pretty to-be-determined race in that division.
Do you think we have a chance against the Red Sox to get to the World Series?
Mariners, Red Sox. Well, I'll tell you this right now. If that happens, if that's your ALCS matchup, I'm rooting against you, buddy, because I've got a wager on the Red Sox and the Phillies playing in the World Series this year. So if the Red Sox get to the ALCS, I'll only be one step away. I'm going to have to root against your Mariners there. But they got a shot. There's no beast in the American League right now. There is none. Detroit has got the best record, but I just watched the Phillies handle them. Yeah, Scooble beat them, and it was more because of Wheeler didn't pitch all that well. But the Phillies took two out of three from them. The Tigers have not been as good since the All-Star break as they were prior to the All-Star break. Toronto is the best team in the East, and they've got themselves a significant lead. And they got pretty good starting pitch. If you ask me right now, who would you make the favorite to come out of the American League? I would say the Blue Jays. But the Red Sox have a chance. Tigers have a chance. Astros have a chance. Mariners have a chance. Even the Rangers. I'm not throwing out the Rangers yet. And the Yankees, of course, were the preseason favorite, but they have to qualify for the playoffs. They're just in as of right now. Chris from Cali's up on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, for some reason, Chris dropped. I don't know why, Chris. If you want to buzz back, get back in quickly. Just saw your name disappear from my call screener, but feel free to get back in just a couple of minutes. Like I said, good weekend of baseball, and yours truly will be on Saturday and Sunday here on the Infinity Sports Network. Yankees-Astros, really a showdown series because the Astros lead the NL West, and the Yankees have to make sure that they at least put themselves in a position to get a wild card. They've fallen behind the Red Sox and the Blue Jays in the NL East. Their pitching has struggled. Aaron Boone is coming under fire. Now, you lose Aaron Judge, and they did. Their number one bat, their MVP. I wonder if you'd still call Judge the MVP. I think you'd have to, because if you're defining MVP as how good the team is with you, we've seen how good they are without Aaron Judge. Now, if they still make the play. If Judge comes back and they completely fall out of the playoffs, the 10 games that Judge missed and his overall compilation of numbers will start to work against him enough to a point where he won't win the MVP. Don't know about that, but he is not as big a lock as he once was. So Yankees Astros is a great series. The Padres and the Red Sox. My caller was just asking me about World Series potential matchups. And I told you I did. Took Boston as a major long shot. It was either right before the season started or just as the season started. It might have been early April that I tabbed the Red Sox against the Phillies in the World Series. Padres were the most aggressive team at the trade deadline. They made more moves than anybody else. They gave up more top-level prospects in their minor league system to add to their major league roster. So the Padres, although they trailed the Dodgers, are certainly in as a wild card. They're all in. They got their chips in the middle of the table. So that's a very good series. And the one I'll be watching on the West Coast, in addition to the Red Sox and the Padres, Blue Jays Dodgers. Blue Jays have the best record in the American League. Dodgers trail both of the teams in the NL Central. The Brewers and the Cubs have gotten as hot as they are, but the Dodgers have, I would say, a relatively comfortable lead in the West over the Padres. Not completely, but a relatively comfortable lead. But what the Dodgers are getting is some of their pitching in order. That Ohtani guy pitched pretty well yesterday or the day before. Oh, by the way, Dodgers didn't win the game, despite the fact that Ohtani struck out 8 in 4 innings of work. That's 2 per inning. That's damn good. But he is building up his endurance. So between getting Snell back and Glasnow, and Yamamoto's having a phenomenal year, Dodgers starting pitching is still in pretty darn good shape. If they're all healthy, if they can all get into a bit of a groove before the playoffs start, I've said all year, Dodgers have the best roster. Best roster doesn't always win, but if given the choice, do I want the best roster or the third best roster or the sixth best roster? Oh, I'm going to take the best roster every single time. All right, Jody Mackin for Bill Ryder on this Friday here on the Infinity Sports Network. Got an hour still to go, and we'll start hour two with a Philadelphia Eagles seasonal preview. Jeff Mosher from Inside the Birds joins me. Hour number two of a Friday edition of Ryder Than You, sans Bill. Bill's got the day off. Hopefully he's having a nice long weekend. Hopefully you have a great weekend too. I'm trying to lead you into it, give you a little insight to what went down in sports last night, what's coming up the rest of this weekend, shoot, the rest of the year, at least on the baseball front. Football, we got to look down the road a little bit. But before you know it, February will be here, and we'll find out what two teams are in the Super Bowl. I know one team that wants to be there, almost expects to be there, because they were there last year, and although they won't use the word repeat or defending champion or anything like that, they'd like to do just that. Here to give us a Philadelphia Eagles season preview is a guy I've been lucky enough to have on my shows as guest for years. He is the co-founder and the host and content creator and everything for InsideTheBirds.com. And he's also editor, sports division for PhillyVoice.com, Mr. Jeff Mosher. GM, how you been?
My man, Jody Mack. What's going on, brother? Good to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for doing this. Got to see the Philadelphia Eagles last night. Last time you saw them, there was confetti coming down amongst their individuals winning the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. They start 2025, as you would expect them to, not playing basically any of their starters other than guys who are competing for jobs. Look very good on offense. Yeah, there's still some questions on defense, and they did lose a lot of guys on defense this year. What do you think about the Birds in their first preseason game?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that's always going to be consistent, Jody, you know this with the Eagles, is their drafting and development of offensive linemen. They played last night only one projected starter, Tyler Steen, at right guard, because he's going to be starting for the first time this year. And he, if you recall, there was a 38-yard run by Will Shipley in that game. Mm-hmm. And Will must have felt like last year when he had those few opportunities to run by the, you know, behind the guys like Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata, because that hole that he ran through was about as wide as the Grand Canyon. Tyler's and the Bengals are playing their first team defense. Not that it was a great defense, but it's still their first team defense. Steen takes Logan Wilson out. Matt Pryor, backup right tackle, takes out Miles Murphy, a first pick, shields him off. Drew Kendall, who they drafted in the fifth round, he's a center. He's not in their typical center mold of Jason Kelce and Cam Jurgens as far as this uber athletic guy, but he's a center who has snapped, and he got into the second level and took out Demetrius Knight. Again, these are all starters for the Bengals, and the Eagles' backup offensive line was out there just mauling him, creating holes. I think they averaged 6 yards a carry, Jody, and that allowed, obviously, Tanner McKee to do what he's done, and we'll talk about that. Tanner McKee might be one of the best backups in the league, and I try not to put too much in the preseason, but he's now done it in both the preseason and the regular season. So it always starts with the offensive line. And you know how we always say in preseason, it's really tough to evaluate, say, a quarterback or a running back or a receiver, because they're always working with the backups. Well, the benefit of what the Eagles do offensively by having really good backup offensive linemen is that they can fairly evaluate their second stringers. It's not a mess when they get out there.
And you mentioned the big Shipley run. He had a couple of them, as a matter of fact, one longer than the others. A.J. Dillon, the former Packer, who they signed as a free agent during this offseason, came in and did what A.J. Dillon did when he was healthy, just running through people. We know they got this guy Barkley, who had a pretty good year last year, but the Eagles have pretty good depth at running back if there were, say, something to happen to Barkley and he had to miss some time.
Yeah, deeper than even last year, in a sense. I mean, Kenny Gainwell was a good backup, and he had a reliable role. But A.J. Dillon gives them something that they haven't had, which is, you know, if you're up by two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, or if Barkley has to come out, limps off the field, and Barkley has had some injuries in the past, do you have someone who can carry that volume, that workload, and be good? You know, and behind the Eagles' offensive line, it doesn't take much. You just have to have a pretty good skill set, and we saw Dillon the Packers beat that role. He actually catches the ball pretty decently for a guy who's about 240 pounds as well. I think the only question about Dillon was he missed all of last year with neck injuries. You know, those stingers can be severe. They can re-aggravate. The Eagles went through that with Jordan Howard a couple of years ago, had trouble keeping him healthy because of it, and he was a talented player. But that was so far so good on that front. Those things can always pop up. But as long as he's healthy, he serves a role on this team that they just haven't had in the past.
You mentioned Tanner McKee, who last night went 20 of 25, over 200 yards, couple of touchdowns. Yeah, pretty good for a guy stepping in as the backup quarterback. They made the decision he was good enough to be just that when they traded Kenny Pickett during the offseason. You're right, preseason games. Last year he got to play in a couple of regular season games. Yeah, kind of mop-up duty in a game that didn't matter. But he's done nothing but complete passes and high passer ratings and the like. What was it that told the Eagles, because the last several years, different guys, but the last several years, they've gone with veteran backup quarterbacks. This year is the first time with a younger guy. What was it about McKee that told them they could go down that road and have an inexpensive yet highly ready to step in backup quarterback in a guy like McKee?
Yeah, I mean, it was a couple of things. I mean, first of all, this goes back to his rookie year. He came in the preseason games and just lit it up. And not just throwing. He has a very strong arm. That much, you know, he's a little on the older side when they drafted him, did the Mormon mission and everything like that. I believe Jordan Mailata calls him the Mormon missile because he has a really strong arm. Over the last few years, he's actually developed some pretty good, mobile pocket navigation. Like last night, he even made a couple of throws on the run, keeping his eyes downfield. So he's not a concrete statue, which really helps in that evaluation and that growth. And seeing, like, can he add to the parts of his game and develop it along with the fact that he's got a really strong arm. But to your question, it was last year. He started a meaningless game against the Giants. That's all they had to evaluate him on. But he was brilliant. And again, the Giants are starting their starters, which isn't saying much. I mean, they were pretty banged up, but all you have to evaluate is what you have. And he has been sterling every single time he's been out there. And you're right. They normally like a veteran for that position, but you have to appreciate from their vantage point, right, that he has cost control. He's in year three of a rookie deal. They want to keep him around. They want to be able to showcase him and maybe trade him if things continue to go well. But obviously, the whole point of having a backup is feeling comfortable that a guy can step in there, run your offense, and win games. And he proved that he can at least do that. They believe that he can at least do that with what they've seen so far. So that's why it's easier for them to make that decision to keep the young kid, not have the veteran backup, and be pretty comfortable with what they've got.
All right, one more offensive question, and the offense looked very good before we do get to the defense. And I know the Bengals played their starters, but they did kind of get carved up a little bit. But my last offensive question is, who the heck is Darius Cooper? Man, he looked good last night. I know that he's not going to get a whole bunch of time if everybody is healthy and Eagles starting wide receivers and Dotson is number three. But this Darius Cooper looked like a guy, if forced into service, could make plays.
What do you mean? You don't watch Tarleton State football, Jody?
Who, what, where? What's their nickname? Yeah, exactly. Do you even know? Because I sure as hell don't.
Is it like the Flashes or something? I really don't.
You're getting it right because I got no idea. I couldn't tell you that you were wrong if you were. So, yeah, not a football factory, let's put it that way, for Darius Cooper.
No, Definitely not. But I tell you, the kid plays beyond his years. I mean, you got to think, when he plays college football games, he's probably playing in front of like, what, 1,000, 2,000 people tops? I don't know what Tarleton State's capacity or attendance is, but to be able to play like a seasoned pro in, you know, in NFL environment is amazing. If football were a meritocracy, if training camp were a meritocracy, he would make it onto the 53. But you and I both know it's not always a meritocracy. But I will say, the guy has separation ability. Over the last few training camp practices I've been at, he has not only ran with the second team, but also gotten some first team reps here and there in a drill. So he's a guy who always is on the receiving end of a target from Tanner McKee on the second team. He knows how to get open, knows how to use his body. He makes good cuts. He's an NFL wide receiver. I mean, I think he's going to wind up on the practice squad. He's probably not going to make the 53 unless he continues to just soar like this. You never know. But he's definitely a player that has impressed a lot of people.
He has another game like last night. He might not make it to the practice squad. If the Eagles try and put him on the practice squad, he could be with somebody else. All right. Defensive side, not near as good or as impressive as the offense. Yes, they were going against the Bengals starters, but so the Eagle backups against the Bengals defensive starters didn't stop them at all. Secondary questions going into the season. Knew this before they ever opened up training camp. Couple of big losses there, one a trade, one via free agency, guys who were big parts of last year's Super Bowl winning team. But the Eagles believe that they have guys ready to step in. They didn't necessarily look that way last night. Now, their two sophomore superstar DBs didn't play, and Reed Blankenship sat, so they were playing guys who were probably not going to start a ton during the regular season, but that was not a good defensive effort out of the Eagles secondary last night.
So I know Kelee Ringo is going to come under the microscope. He allowed two big plays to Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, the first one is a beautiful back shoulder throw from Burrow to Chase that I'm sure cornerbacks better than Kelee Ringo have had trouble defending. That one doesn't bother me as much as the sort of the swing pass that turned into a touchdown because Ringo, it was an out route really, that turned into a touchdown because Ringo was a little slow to get over. On an inside outbreak, and that's kind of the book on Kelee, is that he's a tall, physical corner, and by and large, those kind of corners, even though he tested very well athletically, they just don't flip their hips as well. I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule, and those guys are the ones making a lot of money playing corner in the NFL. So Quinyon Mitchell is a good example, but that's where he struggles, being loose-hipped, and you can see Ja'Marr Chase goes inside and then cuts to the outside, and he's just slow to get over. And what is that? What happens when you're slow to get over? Then you kind of dive at a guy's ankle, right? Because you're trying to compensate. And he dives at the ankles, misses, and then, of course, chases off to the races for a touchdown. So that's not the type of stuff that Kelee Ringo wants to put on tape. And luckily for him, he's got a couple more weeks here. Now, the interesting thing is the Eagles just traded for a corner with the Raiders. His name is Jacorian Bennett. They're going to get him up to speed real quick. It'll be interesting to see if Bennett gets involved in this, what's been a two-man competition between Adoree Jackson and Kelee Ringo. Does Bennett elbow his way in, or does Howie Roseman pull off a Howie Roseman by the end of camp and say, I'm not happy with any of these guys. I need to pull off a trade for a guy who can be the starting corner opposite Quinyon Mitchell.
All right, the safety spot. And, oh, by the way, CJGJ got hurt in the Texans practice last night. Don't know if he's going to be able to start the season, and it doesn't mean we got hurt if he stuck with the Eagles, but they did let him go. Sidney Brown made one really good tackle on his brother last night, but other than that, I didn't think he played particularly well. Makuba, their second-round draft pick, has had some injury issues in camp. How is that second spot on the safety line going to be manned? And will it determine how Vic Fangio uses him, the type of player that wins the job? Because he's been very good at using different players differently. How are they sitting at safety right now? And do you think their DC is comfortable with what he's got to choose from?
Well, you know, they want Makuba to win the job. They drafted him in the second round for a reason. He's a good fit for the scheme with his versatility. He was dealing with a shoulder injury. He did practice on Tuesday, their last practice before the game. He practiced limited. He was out there. I thought he was practicing okay. So I think that if he had not been injured a couple days earlier, he probably would have played. He did come out and warm up with the team. You'll get a chance to see him, I would imagine, in the second preseason game next week. And that's the guy that they want to step up and become the starter. And he just needs reps, and he needs to prove it. Now, you're right. Sidney Brown is a physical player. He can tackle you. He's got good straight-line speed. He also over-pursues. He also is prone to, every once in a while, hitting a little bit late and getting himself a penalty. I thought last night he hit somebody a little late but didn't get penalized for it. He also came out of the game after getting shaken up, and he's had some injury issues in the past. So they're not deep. They're not deep at safety by any stretch of the means. That's why you're seeing Cooper DeJean also play there when they're in their base defense. When they don't have a nickel on the field, then they move DeJean to safety next to Reed Blankenship. When they are in nickel, they want to bring Mukuba in. And if they have to bring Sidney Brown, they'll have to bring Sidney Brown. That's another spot that you'll look at and say, at the end of camp, does Howie Roseman feel comfortable with what he's got, or does he have to use these 13 draft picks that, you know, he's not going to use 13 draft picks next year in the draft, so does he need to make a move or make a signing?
And I think he'd like to keep them all heading into the draft, but you're right. First things first, got to make sure you got enough talent on this year's roster. All right. Looking at the start of the regular season schedule, we'll see what the last two preseason games show us. But regular season, they kick off the NFL year on a Thursday night at home against the Cowboys. Great rivalry game, but the Cowboys, they might not have Michael Parsons. They might not be all that good. Eagles should win the opener at home, celebrating and putting a lift on the season. At Kansas City, home against the Rams, at Tampa. After the Cowboy game, next three games are tough. You can even put the Denver home game the week after. Last year, we remember the Eagles went 2-2 to get things going, and then all of a sudden it kicked into gear, and they were one of the most unbeatable teams in the National Football League. How important is a quick start this year? If they get out 2-2 or 2-3, will we just say, oh, we were only 2-2 last year? Or does this team, coming off the year they had and the talent they have, need to get off to a good start, even against a tough schedule?
Yep, I think Jalen Hurts phrased this the best. I mean, a different question, but same answer. I think his response was, nothing that I've done in the past is going to determine what I've done in the future, right? So if they start off slow, everyone's going to say, well, they did that last year. They were 2-2, and bam, they turned it around, won all these games in a row, won a Super Bowl. Well, this isn't last year's team. I mean, they're replacing half of a starting defense that ranked number one in the NFL. So while the offense is back, the defense has a lot of question marks. So you're right. Starting slow would not be great for this team. And the schedule is much more brutal, theoretically, than it was last year. And, to even expect the Eagles to go 14-3, I think, is a little bit overreach. Even though they have a lot of talent, it's just you don't go 14-3 every single year unless you're Tom Brady, right, in his prime. So, but they are still a very talented team. They just have a lot of questions right now defensively, Jody, they have to answer. You know, edge rush is a question. Inside linebacker should be all right with Zach Bond, but who's going to start opposite him? And, of course, the secondary we just talked about. And on offense, you know, there were times last year the offense was not great, pass offense, and it's probably got to be better this year to make up for the fact that the defense is not likely to be the number one ranked defense. It can still be a good one, and maybe by the end of the year I'll be wrong about that. I still think it'll be a good defense, but they produced a lot of takeaways last year, and that was advantageous for the offense. And just to expect everything to go this year like it did last year would be wrong, I would think.
Understood. They might not go 14-3, but they still might have the best record in the NFC by the time we finish 17 games. They are the favorite right now. They may be the favorite when the playoffs start. If that's the case, who do you think is the biggest threat in the NFC? Who's the second best team in the NFC if the Eagles are first?
You know, I've wrestled with that a lot. I feel like I'm a little higher on the Rams than other people in the media are. Of course, Stafford in the back issue raises some questions. I think the Packers are the team to me that, if you look at I think they won 11 or 12 games last year. I think four or five of those losses, all of them except for one, were by 5 points or less. If you can go look that up, and it's very close. They lost a ton of one possession games. Obviously, two of them came to the Lions. I think the Lions are still very good, but might take a step back. But I would put the Lions and the Packers in that kind of conversation as the biggest threats to the Eagles in the NFC.
Yeah, I still think it's Detroit. I know they got picked off by the Commanders in the playoffs. Shame on them losing at home. But I still think, and we'll find out if Ben Johnson is this offensive genius that everybody thinks he is. We'll surely know that once the season gets underway. All right, Jay Moshe.
Defensive coordinator, too. They lost Aaron Glenn, too. That's why I you know, I think it's really hard when you lose two guys that good at that position. But you're right that they have a lot of talent.
I'm hoping Aaron Glenn is the better of the two head coaches, because that's my J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
I know.
All right, you can read him on phillyvoice.com, his website, insidethebirds.com. Also, podcasts all the time with his boy Adam Kaplan. When is the next podcast going up? How often do you guys put them up?
Oh, pretty much every day. You know, there's not just the Inside the Birds podcast. We have several other podcasts. Andrew DeTecco does a podcast for us, our beat reporter. So every single day there's about – three or four different Inside the Birds umbrella podcasts on the platform. Check them all out, please.
If you are an Eagle fan, make sure you get to InsideTheBirds.com for both reading and podcast excellence. Jay Moshe, always a pleasure, bud. Thanks for hopping on.
You got it, J-Mac. Talk to you.
Jeff Moshe, co-founder and host on InsideTheBirds.com, here with us doing an Eagle preview. Sounds to me like he likes the Eagles' chances to get back to the Super Bowl. I like their chances. I'm not making them a lock, but I'm absolutely acknowledging them that they're the favorites, because Vegas, a.k.a. the sports betting outlets, say so, and so do I. If you don't, feel free to get on my telephone lines. I'm going to take calls the rest of the way. We got about 40 minutes left. We might have a little buy or sell in there, too. But if you want to get in now. 888-710-4476. Join me, Jody Mackin, for Bill Reiner. I can guarantee you it's not going to be a day that yours truly is filling in, because know your liabilities. And singing one would be one for me. Jody Mackin with you in for Bill Reiner on the Reiner the New Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Time for a NASCAR race preview sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros that they serve. The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is headed to Iowa this weekend. I'm not the biggest NASCAR fan. I didn't even know they had a track in Iowa. The Iowa Speedway for the Iowa Corn 350. See, that's a good name. That's a fitting name for a NASCAR race in Iowa. The Corn 350, Brad Keselowski, the current favorite at plus 350. Get ready to start your engine Sunday, 3:30 Eastern. All right, time for a little buy or sell here on Reiner Than You. All right, this is where you jump in, Chrissy P.
All right, Chris Persiainen here on Reiner Than You. Jody McDonald filling in today on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time for a little bit of buy or sell. This is one of my favorite segments that Bill does, because Bill is so decisive and he just gives the right opinion, maybe even the writer opinion. Jody's going to do his best job today to take a crack at it. Jody, are you ready for?
I was born ready, my friend. Give me some buy or sells.
Shedeur Sanders getting set to start in the NFL preseason for the Cleveland Browns. It will be the first start of his NFL career, of his NFL preseason career, you name it. I'm thinking about week one. Let's get prognosticating. Is Shedeur Sanders going to start for the Cleveland Browns week one this year?
As I said earlier in the show, back to the first segment, because I think the Browns are one of the more interesting games with Shedeur starting tonight on the NFL preseason sched this weekend. I don't think he's going to start week one. If I'm a Browns fan, I would be rooting for it. I would be hoping for it. I think they're committed to giving Flacco a shot and seeing if the magic of 2 years ago is still there or can come back. So if I were betting, man, which you know I am, I would bet on Flacco starting week one. But if you're a Brown fan, you have to hope that Shedeur gets in sooner than later, because you do want to get a peek at the potential future of the team.
All right, I'm 0 for 1. Let's see if I can't get you to bite here. Jody, a lot of talk about money in the NFL, a lot of contracts being doled out, a lot of dollars being signed away. The Cincinnati Bengals, one particular team that has invested a fair amount of schmeckles into their offense. Now, Joe Burrow has two stud wideouts. He has an offensive line that is steadily improving year by year. Is this going to be a breakout MVP season for Burrow with this high-powered, highly paid offense?
His numbers would say yes, and I expect him to put up his normal Burrow numbers, if not even slightly better. But the team isn't going to be good enough. To win the MVP, you got to have a team that is making a severe Super Bowl push. And sorry, I watched the Bengals play last night. Burrow looked like Burrow, whipping the ball all over the place, 9 for 10, 2 touchdowns, get the hell off the field. But the Bengal defense also looked like the Bengal defense, and that was the downfall of the team last year and will be the downfall of the team this year again, with or without their superstar defensive end, who as of right now would be without. So, no, sorry, Mr. Burrow. Your accomplishments, your stats may say MVP. Your team says no, that's a sell.
All right. Well, maybe I'll get you this time. I've got this great new stock. It's, big, beautiful, and, well, it's America's favorite reality TV show, the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones. Will they end up extending Micah Parsons? I say yes. Are you buying or selling that the Cowboys and Micah Parsons end up holding hands, shaking hands maybe, over a fat check?
All right, I am going to fly in the face of what I think is the popular opinion here. I'm going to sell on him extending with the Cowboys. I think it's more likely that he'll show up in season, get enough games played to get another year on his contract done, take the hit of all the games he misses, then have to deal with the thing all over again during the offseason. And I'm also going to not throw out the possibility he could be traded in the next 10 days. That Jerry is just tough enough, crazy enough that he can dictate terms and go, hey, it's my team. We know how good Mike is in. Wish him the best of luck, but he doesn't want to play for the money I offered him, which I think is enough. See you later. Bye. I say absolutely sell that they'll get something done before the season starts.
One final one for you, Mr. MacMan, and it's a bit of a curveball, or should I even say an ace? Game Set Matchmaker, a YouTube reality dating series filmed live at this year's U.S. Open Fan Week, follows a 24-year-old former figure skater, now based in Miami, Long Island native, shout out New York. Dakota leverages her tennis-savvy persona as she matches with 7 male contestants, a mix of influencers, tennis superfans, and social media personalities. Game Set Matchmaker, Jody, a sports dating show funded by the U.S. Open themselves. Are you buying or selling this program?
I'll be honest with you. I'd not even heard of it till you just ran it by me right here, right now. Who's the female tennis player? What's her name?
Ilana Ray Sedaka, a 24-year-old former figure skater turned Pilates instructor and Long Island native now based in Miami. That's not even, whoever did this PR release needs to get Grammarly. I don't know.
Ilana, congratulations. Best of luck. You're doing it in New York, so you might just find yourself a reasonable guy who's doing pretty well in his life and wants to gonna bring you back from Miami to New York if you're doing this week during the U.S. Open. All right, just give me the deets. I'll tune in. I'll check it out. I went 3 straight sells on you, so I got to give you a buy. Give me a buy on Ilana. All right, that'll do it for Buy or Sell. Good job by Chris P. Jody Mack in for Bill Ryder. We still got 20-plus minutes left. Going to make the most of it talking to you guys. NFL action this weekend, preseason, the baseball weekend getting underway. We got 2 sports kicking in pretty darn good right now. You tell me what point you want to make. Do it by hitting me up, 888-710-4476. I'll punch you up here in the final segment after the latest Infinity Sports Flash with Peter Schwartz.
All right, Jody, let's begin with a look at NFL preseason action tonight. We have three games on tap. At 7 Eastern time, it's the Lions visiting the Falcons and the Panthers hosting the Browns. And at 7:30 Eastern tonight, the Commanders visit the Patriots. Other NFL news, Chargers Pro Bowl left tackle Rashawn Slater out for the season with a ruptured patella tendon suffered in practice on Thursday. Major League Baseball tonight, after ending their 5-game losing streak on Wednesday, the Yankees return home to open up a series with the Astros this evening. Yankees manager Aaron Boone believes his team can get on a roll. First pitch tonight in New York at 7:05 Eastern time. Other games of note tonight, 8:10 Eastern for the Mets in Milwaukee against the Brewers, 9:40 Eastern for the Padres hosting the Red Sox, 10:10 Eastern, the Blue Jays at the Dodgers. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Jody Mack here with you, filling in for Bill Ryder on Ryder Than You on the Infinity Sports Network. I'd take you to the top of the hour, and Rich Eisen up on most of these radio stations, so you don't even want to think about touching that dial. The only dialing you want to do is me getting a call here in our last segment, 888-710-4476. This MLS game preview sponsored by Lowe's. Member Week is here. Save up to 40% off home essentials. Join Lowe's free today. Loyalty program subject to terms and condition. Details at lowes.com/terms. Check it out. All right. Inter Miami makes the short trip up the Florida Turnpike this week. My producer, Chris, writes this for me, and I told him I've taken that trip off the Florida Turnpike from Miami to Orlando. More so probably down, heading south from Orlando down to Miami, taking in a spring training game, coming back across Alligator Alley and then up the other side of Florida. Well, either way, Inter Miami will be going north up the turnpike to take on Orlando City. Superstar Lionel Messi was kept out of Miami's last match with a hamstring injury, but they weathered the storm. You can tune in Sunday night soccer at 8 p.m. with the MLS season pass. All right, Jody Mack, open phones. Like I said, rest of the way, we've only got about 14, 15 minutes left. So if you want to get in, do it at 888-710-4476. Yours truly beyond in my usual spot on the weekends. That's Saturday later night, 10 a to 2 p Eastern, which means 7 to 11 on the West Coast, and then Sunday's a little earlier, 6 to 10 Eastern, 3 to 7 West Coast time. And yes, I will be doing extensive NFL season previews. I've got not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, 6 scheduled for the weekends. All good guys. All I've had on before to do either in-season reporting about the team that they cover and or season previews before the year gets underway. Saturday, we'll do the Buffalo Bills early on, the New England Patriots. So we got a couple of teams in the AFC East, which, oh, by the way, the Bills are the team to beat, and I'm going to have their sideline reporter, Sal Capaccio, on for their radio network and see where the Bills are at. Which, by the way, did you watch episode 1 of Hard Knocks? I don't know what it is about Hard Knocks, but I just love it. I look forward to it every year. It's basically been the same format for a couple of decades now. It has, the franchise has expanded. They do in season as well, not just one team, but they'll do an entire division, and they're doing that again this year. Last year, they did a preseason, an off-season edition of Hard Knocks. Didn't go real well for the Giants and their general manager and the decisions they made, letting Saquon Barkley walk out the door and have the kind of season that he had for the Philadelphia Eagles. Sorry about that, Giant fans, but facts are facts. So I guess no one bit this offseason either, because it turned into a nightmare for the Giants, because they were critiqued as it went, called on the carpet, and then most of the doubters of the Giants and how they handled their offseason got to say told you so when the season was over and done with. So there was no offseason hard knocks. You had to wait till preseason hard knocks, which the Buffalo Bills first set episode was up on Tuesday night. I think it's Tuesday nights for the first airing each week, 4 weeks of the Buffalo Bills training camp leading up to the regular season. So we will get some potential highlights of hard knocks this Saturday. They play Saturday, 1 o'clock, do the Bills. So an early Saturday game. Sal Capaccio will join me to talk about the Bills. Andy Hart from WEEI in Boston is going to come on, do a Patriot preview for us. Yeah, the Bills are the team to beat, but I think the Patriots will be improved. And yes, I'm going to put my jet-colored glasses on because I'm a Jet fan and I'm acknowledging it here on the air. I'm rooting for the Jets. And I'm giving you my honest opinion. I hope it's not tainted by the heartstrings, but I think the Jets will be improved. I've been a Justin Fields fan since he came into the league, since he was drafted by Ohio State. For those of you, again, listening to me years ago here on the network and on other places where I broadcast, still was doing New York shows at that time on WFAN. I wanted the Jets to draft Justin Fields with the number 2 pick in the draft. They took Zach Wilson, which I said at the time was a mistake, and it certainly proved out to be a mistake. Sometimes you get this stuff right, sometimes you get it wrong. I'm a Justin Fields guy. I think he'll play as well, if not better, than Aaron Rodgers did last year. There'll be less drama with Justin Fields than there was with Aaron Rodgers. New and, I believe, improved coaching staff. I know it was a bit of a surprise when they hired Aaron Glenn. Not the fact that they hired an ex-Jet player, not the fact that they hired a very successful assistant coach in the NFL to get his first chance being a head coach. The fact that they went back to a defensive coach. I thought after Robert Saleh they would probably go on the other side of the ball. But Aaron Glenn gets his first chance to coach the Jets this year, and everything I've heard says that he's got control of the room, that the players respect him, even though he's a newbie, and that they're busting it during the preseason in practices. I think the Jets are improved. And the Dolphins have been a team that I've kind of been hanging on the last couple of years because I was a big Tua Tagovailoa fan coming out of college. And when Tua's been on the field, with the talented wide receivers he has, he moves the ball. He puts points on the board. The problem with Tua is staying on the field, and I hope he stays on the field for all 17 games. If he does, the Dolphins will be good again. But if he doesn't, yeah, they've now got the former Jet number 2 overall pick in the draft quarterback who wasn't good enough to play for the Jets. I don't think he's going to be good enough to play for Miami either. It's Buffalo, and then the other three teams could finish in any order. Jets could jump up, be second, maybe in the wild card mix. Miami can jump up, be second, maybe in the wild card mix. Miami could jump up, be second. Really fun division. I don't think there's a bad team in the division. Buffalo is the best team as per what they've done the last several years and the talented roster they have. But I think the other three are all in the mix. So should be fun doing both Patriot and Bills spots on Saturday. And then we'll go all the way out to the West Coast to an NFC West team. Bob Condotta, who covers the Seahawks for the Seattle Times, going to jump in. I've told you I'm kind of bullish on the Seahawks. I know they tied in their preseason game last night, but Sam Darnold didn't play. He's going to be their starting quarterback. I think he turned a corner last year in Minnesota. I think that he's got a chance to be better than Geno Smith was. And Geno Smith had some good years in Seattle. They put up a graphic on last night's Seahawks game, Seahawks-Raiders, with Geno starting. The Geno had more fourth-quarter comebacks in the last 2 years in the NFL than any other quarterback. That came as a surprise to me. But Pete Carroll wanted to get a guy he already knew about, quarterback, so they traded for him for the Raiders. I think that the Seattle offense is going to be good. I think their defense is going to be good. Nick Amonwara, their number one draft pick, I think has a chance to be in the running for defensive rookie of the year in the NFL. So the Seahawks preview also should be a good one. On Sunday, we're going to do the Falcons, the Orlando Ledbetter, who covers the Birds for the Orlando for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, going to help us with a Falcons preview. Ira Kaufman, good buddy, guy I've had on many times over the years, columnist for JoeBucksFan.com, Hall of Fame voter for the Tampa area. Ira will be on to give us a Bucks preview, and some people think that the Bucks have been able to win divisions, watch Tom Brady go out the door, but been able to stay atop that division. It's been, let's be honest, one of the worst divisions in football over the last couple of years, but that means it's wide open. Some people think the Falcons have improved enough to take the division away from the Bucks. We shall see. Got both a Falcon preview and a Buck preview coming up on Sunday. And then last spot of the weekend, all NFC on Sunday, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen, will hop aboard to give us our seasonal Vikings preview. Hosts on KFAN up in Minnesota. And one of the reasons why I love Paul, not only is he a outstanding play-by-play radio call guy in the NFL and a really good guest because he does his own talk show in Minnesota, he's also the voice of Canterbury Downs, Canterbury Park, the thoroughbred racing outlet in Minnesota. So, you know, if you listen to me, I'm a thoroughbred fan. And last year, it was 2 years ago, I had Paul on, and I gave him a horse that had run in at Canterbury. I asked him about a horse that had run in Canterbury. I was actually higher on him, and Paul called the race. I just watched it on TV, and I said, I think this has got a chance. You want to a two-year-old race in Minnesota and then went on to have a pretty damn good three-year-old season, including running in the money in the Kentucky Derby. Phil's, wow, man. Now I'm blacking out on the horse's name. Phil something or other. Shame on me. Like I said, finishing the top three in the Derby, and I talked him up pretty good in going into the Derby. In addition to getting a Viking preview for him, I will put Paul Allen on the spot and ask him if he's got a Kentucky Derby preseason choice as two-year-olds. Completely unfair. I'm one of very few idiots in this country who are actually handicapping, keeping track of, checking speed ratings of two-year-olds so we can know who are going to be the main contenders of the Kentucky Derby. It's so far off the first Saturday in May, it's probably an exercise in futility, but I love it. What can I tell you? I'm a horse racing fan and degenerate. So Paul Allen as well. So I got not one, but six good NFL team previews this weekend. I'll probably do six more again next weekend because I'm going to try and get all 32 teams in. Got a whole bunch of NFL action this weekend on the NFL Network. If you get the NFL Network, you can basically see every team. Bunch will be done live as the game is on. Others will be done on tape and aired afterwards. You want to get back into the NFL this weekend, you can by watching and or checking out the games on the NFL Network and by checking me out on the Infinity Sports Network here because I'll be talking plenty of NFL over the weekend. Thanks to Chris P. did an outstanding job producing this show. Jeff Mosher, my guest. Your boy, Bill Ryder, will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Hopefully you hear me.